Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Hi, friends. My name is Leenie Heiss, and it is my honor to welcome you to the Moms in Prayer podcast today. Did you know that January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month? Me neither. Today's guest, Jen Amo, tells us that between 300,000 and 400,000 of our students in the United States will be human trafficked this year. That is too many to sweep this issue under the rug and something that we must pray about. Today's episode, you might want to have earbuds in instead of listening in front of your little kids, but you do not want to miss today's episode. Let's jump right in. Jen, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, friend, it's so good to get to see you in person on my screen. I wish my friends across the earbuds could see you too, that we could all sit down and have coffee because you are so fun and you really do sparkle.
I try every day.
Every day. Okay, introduce yourself to our audience.
I am Jen Amo, the founder of Warning Lights, which is a preventative approach to raising human trafficking. We are a nonprofit that truly targets protecting kids, teens, and young adults, but do work to protect any age from the lures of human trafficking.
Well, that doesn't sound like a fun thing to be doing. Actually, that sounds like a big thing, but like personally, you're married.
I am. Yes. I'm married to my hottie husband, Matt. He is a PE teacher for fifth and sixth graders at a local public school here in Michigan. And I love traveling. I love singing. I love dancing. I love playing volleyball. I love being around people and definitely glitter, sparkle, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so fun. Jen, human trafficking is a huge topic that we hear on the news today, that we see across everything as a parent. It really does strike terror in our hearts. But January is Sex Trafficking Awareness Month, right?
It is, yep. Human Trafficking Awareness Month, yep.
And I think that I would like for us to spend some time just kind of defining human trafficking and sex trafficking. Can you talk to us about that? Help us raise our awareness about this issue.
Absolutely. So majority of people in any walk of life, because of the movie Taken, when we hear human trafficking, they think it is a kidnapping abduction situation. I would hands down disagree with that. Could that happen? Absolutely. But 95% of my victims are lured through a relationship. I truly believe this is a relationship-based crime. Human trafficking is basically, in short, modern-day slavery, where a human is sold against their will to do something they would not normally do. We've got labor trafficking, we've got service trafficking, but the most common form here in the United States is sex trafficking. Basically, people build a relationship with somebody, we call them a predator or a trafficker. They think it's literally a true, genuine relationship. It could be companionship, guardianship, but the most common form is probably a romantic relationship, but it could be a friendship. And that relationship is just literally growing and being everything they want it to be, when actually that predator is manipulating that whole situation, fulfilling their needs, making them feel like they've never felt before. So my victims think that this is awesome. It's their soulmate. It's the person that they're meant to be with, or their best friend. And then that person flips on them and says, well, I've been taking care of you, or I've been letting you live here, or I got you this job and now you owe me. How are you going to pay me back? And a lot of times, they're not going to ask their parents for money, or they don't have a job, or as adults, they're not working. And the only way to do it is that person forces them, frauds them, tricks them, or coerces them, bribes them into selling their bodies in order to maintain that relationship, which is truly manipulative and horrible.
Okay, but this is America. Is this really happening in America? Like, people are being trafficked for sex in America.
Yeah. So majority of Americans, right, we think this happens in other countries, which yes, it does. But what we don't understand is that actually human trafficking is the second fastest growing organized crime in America today.
Say that again.
The second fastest growing organized crime in the United States today. It's out of control. And people are living in neighborhoods where it's happening. We drive by it constantly and we just don't know what we're looking at. We don't know what we're seeing because A, we're good people and we don't want to believe that that's actually what we're seeing. But also we just make excuses for it. And unfortunately, a lot of Americans just cast judgment on those people and think, well, they probably asked for it, which is one of my biggest pet peeves because it's just not how it works. It's a victimized crime for sure.
When did this switch happen? You grew up in a small town. One of my husband's very best friends growing up. You're a pastor's kid. I mean, like, at what point did this problem come into your awareness and how did you feel God's calling into this path?
I got saved at 4, vacation Bible school, lived in an amazing Christian family. My family is awesome. The greatest friends, a youth group that I grew up in that, I mean, we were so tight. It was just awesome. Accountability, all of that stuff. Went to a Christian college, met my Christian husband, you know, in the circle of just protection my whole life. If you would have said to me at any point of that, do I want to be a missionary fighting human trafficking? I would have said, no, thanks, if I'm going to be real. Thanks, but no, thanks. I've grown up in ministry. I've seen how helpful and how happy it is, but I've also seen how hard it is. And so it was back in 2013 that I heard the term human trafficking, like everyone else assumed they were talking about overseas. And then I learned that they were talking about cases of it happening here in America. And I said, now, wait a minute, just like we just talked about, I'm sorry, what did you just say? Like, we're free here. We don't have slaves. And they said, well, actually, there's more slaves today than there has ever been in history. And I'm like, well, you got to tell me more about this. There was one specific stat that's from the U.S. Department of State, and I am not a stats person, but this is what God used to light a fire in my heart. And that is, at that point back in 2013, they estimated that about 800,000 people are trafficked every year in the United States. 800,000, Lee? That's a huge number. And that, I was mad. I got upset because I was like, that is horrible. Why is this happening? But then the second part of that statistic is that about 50% of those are minors.
Oh.
I am not joking. My heart lit on fire. And I joke when I say, I'm not looking like, ooh, Jen's got a pretty candle. I'm like, for those of us that grew up in farm country, like, get out your s'mores, y'all. We're having a big old bonfire. And we know how to make bonfires where I come from. That is just a huge fire lit in my heart. I couldn't understand. So for me, it was like when we had an issue in America with teen drug use, we created a program called DARE that the police officers took into every school across the nation to educate them and to give them ways to stay safe, but also raise their awareness to what happens when you use drugs, right? And the biggest thing was, is it's okay to say no. So as God cultivated that whole situation in my heart, I did and felt called to write a curriculum, which I named the same, Warning Lights, in the same mindset of DARE, but for human trafficking, because it needs to be talked about. We need to give them the options and raise their awareness, because about 300,000 to 400,000 minors every year becoming victim to this, and there's no one talking about it at all.
I am shocked. And as we have discussed, one of our purposes on the podcast is really to put our finger on the pulse of what is happening so that we can better pray for and equip our kids. And as I've just been reflecting on getting to talk to you today and introduce my friends, I feel the same way. Like, we have to put our pulse on this as moms that are interceding for our schools. And so that means that this isn't something that's fun to talk about, this thing that is happening in our schools, but 300,000 to 400,000 students a year are being trafficked.
So one of the main things that when we talk about a crime like this is that having parents and everyone understand that this is not to instill fear. Fear is what most people avoid, hence the reason they don't talk about crimes like this. But honestly, I've seen awareness alone save lives. So talking about it, learning about it, having that conversation reduces the level of fear and increases the level of awareness, which causes safety. As we get into this conversation and we start talking about more what human trafficking and sex trafficking is, I just want all my moms out there to not panic on me. Know that this is not something that we should be afraid of. It's something that we need to stand up and fight against.
So let's do some talking about this. We've talked about the prevalence of this, but really, like, I've heard you talk about grooming a child. Talk to our audience about what predators are doing to groom our children.
So first of all, we have to start out that when we say predator, a majority of people default to an adult male, but that is not the case. We've got predators who are male or female, old and young, even some, like, say, college age students who are recruiting high schoolers into it. And now I've got high schoolers recruiting middle school, and now I've got middle school recruiting elementary kids. So when we say predator, it's not an age thing. It's an act, a choice of action. But what I firmly believe why Satan is utilizing this crime to cause such a ruckus in our kids today is that we believe that God created us to be interpersonal with each other. We're called the family of God. A family unit is so strong. Our kids today are literally growing up on virtual relationship. They have a hole. They have something missing inside because everything is virtual for them when God created us longing to be a part of that family realm. Now, when I say family, I'm not talking like my, you know, Leave It to Beaver family that I grew up in. I'm talking about whatever that means for you. You long to have a personal relationship with somebody. So my biggest fight in the grooming of kids is that they meet someone online who enjoys everything they do. I mean, I have a whole list of 25 things that predators do to make you feel comfortable, wanted, valued, loved, have a purpose. And so there's just this cultivating of a relationship that you believe to be genuine, and then they flip that on you. That grooming process for some of these predators, they invest years. They're really good at their jobs. Just like statistics, hands down, when we're talking about any form of abuse, that most abuse happens at the hand of someone that victim knows and thinks they can trust. That's the same for human trafficking. Could it be abduction? Like I said earlier, yes. But normally, this is a relationship. This is someone that they think that they can trust that turns on them. That grooming process of opening their eyes and keep asking them to do more and more and more. Like in my curriculum, for instance, one of the lures is bribery. So I've got someone walking down the hall and they say, "Hey, we've got that same teacher for this class. You have your test 4th hour, mine 6th hour. Can you snap a picture of it really quick for me? I didn't get a whole lot of time to study last night," right? And that person's like, "No, that's cheating. I'm not going to do that." Well, then you see him after 4th hour and they're like, "Did you get the picture?" And you're like, "Yeah." They're like, "Give it to me." And they're like, "Well, I don't think I should." And they're like, "I'll totally buy you a Snickers bar." And then that student's like, "King size?" Right? Like, there's a little bribery into that. And then they're like, no, I don't want to do it. So then after 5th hour, they're like, "Okay, I have the test next hour. I need it. I'll totally buy you the king size Snicker bar, and I'll pay for your movie or bowling or whatever we're doing Friday night. I just need you to do this for me." And you see those little steps of Satan luring and tempting to give something that you want to have a relationship with that person, because you're afraid that if you say no and stand your ground, you're going to go through the whole, "They're mad at me. They say bad things about me." And it's what our teens are facing and our kids of at risk of just feeling unwanted and accepted. I mean, as I'm sure you've talked about before, cyberbullying is a huge issue. The risk of that affecting our kids is ginormous. So that grooming process could come in so many different forms. That's why this crime is honestly super hard to fight. It's not a, "Here's your answer, go fix it." It's not how this one works.
So relationship, or our kids' connectivity to parents, adults, friends, is a huge part of the prevention of this, that our students would be in healthy relationships with people that they can trust.
Absolutely. I always say we need to build our kids from the inside out. If your kid is not ready for a phone and every single one of his friends or her friends has a phone, you need to protect your child, because if they're not protected and firmly grounded in Christ and know their value on the inside, which we all have doubts, we all have anxieties, we all have fears, it's totally normal, but each person is different. If they're not ready, then don't feel the pressure of giving them that phone yet. Because if you don't have them built up on the inside, Satan is going to attack and attack and attack and attack that. And parents come to me all the time, "Jen, but my kid's the only kid that doesn't have a phone, and now they're being made fun of for that." I'm like, you know, it is. It's a hard juggle. But if they're not ready, they're going to appreciate it down the road, even though you're fighting over every single day right now. I get that. But having this conversation with them to let them know why and how you're doing it is also a major part of that.
Yeah, I think so too. And something I've been weighing with my kids is, do they feel comfortable telling me when something's wrong as we hand them technology? And I mean, I've had you in my ear whispering these tips, which I'm so grateful for. And you do a great job teaching us on Facebook. I just think that I'm getting tips all the time. But if I don't know that my child will see a problem and come to me for a solution, or they see something that's uncomfortable and come back to me, then they're not ready for the technology that I'm handing them. Okay, I want to tell you something. There's a problem with vaping in our schools right now. I don't know if that's a problem everywhere, but it's our problem. Mm-hmm. And so Mike told me last night that our son Brendan has reported 4 vaping students in the last few days. And I said, why? Like, what's been the change? And he said he wants to create a better atmosphere in the school for everybody, and that it takes courage to do that.
And so boy.
I was like, oh, way to go, Brendan, you know. But it takes courage to report things that feel suspicious. But one of the things that you did is that you've given us keychains, key tags that attach to our keychain, and it has a phone number on it. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so there is actually a national human trafficking hotline. It's an anonymous hotline that if you see anything that looks suspicious, or if there's extra activity in your neighborhood or whatever it is, you're at the movie theater or at the mall and you just see something that doesn't look correctly, you call this number, tell them the situation. Technically, I guess you're calling into the FBI, but we don't have enough FBI to respond to every call. So there's no sirens coming down your road. If there's something that happens in your neighborhood, no one's going to be like, who snitched? Because that's not how it works. But what works is that when you call that in, they keep it in a database. And as soon as there's enough activity in a certain area, then they come in and they will do these undercover stings. And I live in West Michigan. So recently we just had one in West Michigan, and they arrested 124 traffickers in a 48-hour period simply because people use this hotline. So it's so important to report it. If you see immediate danger, we're calling 911 all day long. But if it's something for relatable to maybe even just a relationship that doesn't seem right, or you see some sort of activity or lots of cars coming and going from a certain house in your neighborhood, just calling that hotline. And the hotline is 1-888-373-7888. I know it doesn't seem like it sounds like a phone number, but that's the easiest way to remember it. But it is an actual phone number. And you call that in, just give them the information and go on your way. I mean, it's anonymous. So every time that I call in, they don't know me, but I'm waiting for them to be like, hey, Jen, what you got today? But they don't even know my name. So, but I'm sure they know my voice, but it just is a great way to help combat it.
Okay. So I travel a lot and I love that, because there've been times where I've been in situations where I thought, that looks funny, but I haven't known what to do. And it just, you know, what we're asking moms to do is to listen to the Holy Spirit inside of them. And we're training our kids to listen to the Spirit inside of them, guiding us, believing that God will open our eyes like we've been praying, right? And show us situations that need to be exposed. So what I do is I keep that phone number with me. You can just log that into your phone too, but don't be afraid to be the one who speaks up. If this is a silent epidemic that's killing us, then somebody's got to say something, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and people say to me all the time, I'm like, well, what if you call and it wasn't human trafficking? I'm like, who stinking cares, to be honest? I'd much have you call and you were wrong then you didn't call and you were right.
Right? So, hooray! If it's
call,
nothing,
call.
Hooray! You know, yes, if it's something bummer, not like, hooray, this was right. You want it to be wrong. So anyway, this leads us right into the next question, which was, what should we be watching for? But just yesterday, Jen, there's this app called Episode, and my daughter came and she was like, I'm playing this game about a kitten that she takes care of. It's a virtual kitten game. And she came and she said, Mom, I see something. She turned the screen around to me and it was 2 boys kissing for an app called Episode. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this? This is in the middle. Yeah. But really, just to go back on, if we don't know that our kids are able to have a conversation with us about feeling uncomfortable in something they said, we've got a problem, right?
Hands down. It's really important. And, you know, as we're talking about healthy sexuality, human trafficking, these crimes of cyberbullying and all these things that they're facing, peer pressure and this ongoing battle that we all face, the wisest thing to do is to talk about this stuff. I have a lot of Christian families that say, well, I don't want my kids to know about that. I totally respect you as a parent, but you have to understand they're gonna learn it. And I'd much rather have it be talked about in love because, you know, in my secular circles or in my Christian circles, when I have a kid in a secular circle who gets in trouble and needs help, they will tell their friends, they will tell just basically anybody because they're longing to get help. My Christian kids just shell right up. They tighten right up and they don't want to tell anybody because they know they're going to be in trouble and they don't, there's like a shame, a guilt, which we feel when we sin. So that's normal. But if we don't talk about this stuff with them, then they don't know it's okay to talk about. And so really creating that open communication. And I really encourage, you know, to think about these things ahead of time because you want to be able to respond to that question versus your panic reaction to their question when they say, what does this mean? And then they cuss in your face or bring out a word that you're like, wow. You know, like if you panic and react, they're going to think, oh no, I'm in trouble. I'm never going to ask a question again. But if you respond and say, actually, this is what that word means, and it's really not a nice word, and we will never use that again in our house. Thanks for asking me, you know, if you respond in like, like me, I'm always like, wow, where'd you hear that one? Can you spell it? Is this a spelling bee? Like, what is happening right now? And they like all start laughing, you know, like loosen up the atmosphere a little bit. But if I was to say, what did you just say? Where did you learn that? And I come in that tone. The next time they hear something, they're not going to ask me because they don't want to get in trouble. Building that open communication. And that's honestly one of the main purposes of Warning Lights. Our programs, our curriculums is to open that talking, start a conversation that never ends, that is creating a healthy circle of protection and love and value for our kids.
So what are some of the things that we as parents can be looking for immediately, right now?
One of the first signs that most kids go into is that they start to pull away from what their norm is. This predator, this groomer, whoever that is chatting with them, they are telling them lies. They are making their scenario. So for a lot of my kids, they'll get online, whether they're playing Fortnite, which we have predators using Fortnite. We have tons of social media apps, but they're gaming or whatever they're doing. And they're chatting with someone that they think lives down the road. That's their same age, but really it's not. But whatever, whoever they're chatting with, and they're like, oh, my mom just said I only have 15 more minutes. It's so annoying. I hardly got to play at all today. That predator is going to be like, oh, are you kidding me? Yeah, that is so annoying. And they feed into that so that that child feels like this person understands me. My parents don't. And they start to build a wall between what that is. So as a parent, if I saw my kid becoming more and more isolated, becoming more and more aggressive in my parenting as far as saying, okay, 15 more minutes or, you know, whatever my normal routine is, and you see some aggression or a response that you're like, whoa, where'd that come from? That is one of the first true tell signs that we see it a lot of times in attitude and then pulling themselves away from what's normal because they want to be online. They want to be playing games because that relationship is more fun or more representative of what they want to feel. There's an unusual importance for social media, or they won't ever put their phones down. I've got teens that their parents are like, they just are on that thing constantly. And I'm like, doing what? Like, we have rules where at night you put them down and you don't have them in your bedrooms at night because, I mean, nighttime is for sleeping, y'all. We need sleep. Like, put your mind where it needs to be and get rid of that. Those are some of the easy ones that we see from kids and teens right away if that's an online relationship, which 95% of them are.
Those are great tips. You give lots of practical tips, but one of the things that I've been thinking about as this relates to prayer is just praying that our kids get caught in whatever risky behavior it is,
yeah,
that God would remove the blinders from our eyes to be able to see something that's happening. Have you experienced that in real life where a parent just knows that something's wrong and goes in and sure enough, I mean, surely that happens.
Yes, absolutely. But I want to come back to that because I want to slide off a little bit on that because a lot of times I have teachers or youth pastors or even friends who tell their moms, this is something that I think there's that is happening there. That mom will approach the parent and say, so my daughter mentioned this. And then the parent is like, oh no, she's mistaken. And they don't take those little cues because it's from a minor or another child to be legit. I would just pray that as parents, we have open hearts to understand that all have sinned and that it might be our kids. They might really be doing that. And if we are like, oh, no, we talk about that all the time. They know better. That is our biggest fall, I feel like, sometimes, just because we want to help our kids. But if we don't believe and are there for them when they actually do fall, we're just not helping the situation at all. So believing and having that relationship with our kids to know that we all make mistakes. Like I say to parents, if you make a fault, admit that. Like at family dinner or whatever, be like, you know what didn't work out for me today? Let me tell you guys. Because if they never see you faulting, they're not going to feel comfortable sharing their faults. And it's just living life. We all are striving to follow Jesus and keep our hearts pure. But every single day, I falter at that. Every single day, I am try not to be a judgy person, but sometimes I judge. Like, but I immediately try to be like, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Please have me have open eyes to what my scenario in my real life is. Teachers, hands down, tell me all the times as I'm in schools across the nation that the hardest thing is when I tell a parent that something's going on and they just don't do anything. I see these signs of their kids showing signs of not necessarily even from human trafficking, but other things. You know, they're struggling, they're longing to be accepted. And I mention it to the parents and those parents just say, oh, they're okay. They're fine. They're tired. And it's hard. Being open to the reality and the facts of life is a huge way to help protect them. A huge way to help protect them.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so good. Your husband, Matt's a teacher, and mm-hmm. I think that makes you a great team too. I bet he talks to you about hurting students. What do you think Matt would say the state of the union is in the schools right now?
He is in a blue ribbon, remarkable school district. Okay. It's a public school district, but the community is highly religious and conservative. So even in that scenario, as he's got fifth and sixth graders, he sees the pain, the hurt, the longing to just be included, the acting out for attention, because honestly, Lee, so many of my kids that act out, when I go meet with their families or try to help mentor them, and their parents can't set down their phones while we're there talking about it because they are too intertwined in work or something else, it makes me want to be like, see, this is why your kid's longing for attention. Like, it has to be a deliberate choice. They need you. They want you. And I understand work is important. But right now, even in this conversation that we're having, you can't put your phone down for 2 seconds to hear what your child has to say. You're portraying to them that they are not important enough for you. And so then they come to school and they're acting out and you're getting upset with them because you're getting calls from the office that you have to come pick them up because, again, they're in trouble. But talk to them. Sit down and just talk to them and have this moment where they can be real. And if they say, I don't feel like you love me, you need to fix that because right. A lot of my kids are facing that whole struggle. We all don't come from amazing families.
Okay, Jen, I hear you saying this is a problem. And I hear you saying this is really large in part a relational issue, a void in students' lives. Mm-hmm. And that being proactive is so much better than having to respond on the other side. But we are moms in prayer groups. So we've got groups of moms in schools, all 50 states, 146 countries around the world, and a whole bunch of them are listening today. What do you want to say to the moms who are praying? How can moms in prayer groups pray for students and this issue of human trafficking?
Well, my mission, and as I sit here trying to follow God's will in doing this, the motto that he gave to me was be aware or beware. So as we pray for our kids, for our communities, for these students, like you said, just to have someone recognize the signs of acting out, the change of attitude, the isolation, to see that in them. Because like you mentioned, if we don't know that there's something wrong, we can't fix it. If we do, we can fix that. I've had chairs thrown at me. I've had people slam doors and scream out of my sessions. And the teacher's like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, it doesn't bother me at all because I can help that. I've seen a crack in the heart where there's hurt. And we know what can fulfill that pain for eternity. But if I don't know what's there, I don't offer the help. So praying for those little cracks to be revealed, and then the healing ointment of Jesus Christ can be placed on those. And prayer is a big part of that, like you mentioned already, but taking the blinders off, even as moms in prayer, dropping kids off in the loop, or, you know, in the morning, seeing our kids or whatever our roles are in that situation, to just have eyes for kids that are hurting, that act like they're all tough because they're actually raising themselves at home and they're way older than what they should be, but their hearts are longing to be loved like a child. Just having those blinders removed. Praying for students specifically to have the courage and the strength to get help if they need it. Mm-hmm. Feel comfortable, to feel that there's a person or a place or somewhere that they can go and ask for that help and not feel like they can't. It's a hidden crime. Human trafficking is super hidden. I mean, it happens in great neighborhoods and homes. And unfortunately, as sickening as it is, I've got parents that traffic their own kids for money. So giving them the courage to speak up when that opportunity arises. And then I would also selfishly pray for those people like me specifically, but also those people who are going in and trying to help educate and rescue. Sometimes we're welcomed with open arms, but sometimes it's a fight. And when it's a fight, God usually is telling me, Jen, there's someone in there that needs your help and Satan is fighting you back. This is one you need to push for. Push, push, push. Don't give up. Don't give up because someone needs your help. Being wise in words and in suggestions and relationships and letting them see the real light of Jesus in some of these really dark scenarios is definitely a specific prayer that can be taken.
Those are so good. I told you on my list that we need to be praying for students whose parents aren't praying for them.
Oh, yeah.
Keeping our eyes open, watching. I'm just telling you, sometimes the hardest students to love are the ones that need it the absolute most. I hear that from our students all the time, is it's broken because they don't have anybody there to fix it. And yes, Jesus, but often yes, us too, right?
Absolutely. Like
us in the middle.
Agreed.
Jen, I love you. And I'm so proud of you. I know how much this costs you because you are shining the light on something that Satan's having a heyday in right now. And I know this is difficult. I am on your prayer team, so I watch you wrestle through with students. And I'm so grateful for your voice at this time in the kingdom calendar, no matter how crazy it is. Jen, would you do me a favor and would you pray us out of here right now, just specifically for the mom who feels burdened by this information and for the protection of our kids? Because boy, this is scary.
Yes, absolutely. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for arming us with the opportunity to share the truth about crime as it's attacking and targeting our kids, our teens, and our young adults. Lord, growing up in today's society is so different from what it used to be. And as we carry on and try to continue to follow your will, Lord, we also need to be real and live in the moment to see how we can go ahead and be your hands and feet in these scenarios, Lord. I just want to pray for the moms who have young students who are wondering and have maybe a friend of theirs that's kind of come into their mind right now and just thinking, man, I wonder if some of this is relating to this situation, Lord. I pray for that mom to know the words, to have a bold, bold heart, and to be able to say, love, be involved in that child's life, to just investigate a little further what is actually causing that. Lord, I also just want to pray for the moms who have specific roles that pertain to their own kids, and their hearts break on a regular basis because they see them making maybe unwise choices or hanging out with people that they don't really feel are a healthy relationship. I just pray for your strength in them that they can also carry on to do what is right, fight for what is right, and as much as that targets their kids and they want to fight about it, that they continue to just trust you, have patience in you, and know that standing firm in you will result in reward. And for any mom that is a praying mom, I know that it is a 24/7 kind of feeling with everything that's going on in our society. But please, 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 I just ask you, Lord, to give them a peace and an understanding in how to handle these situations. Because as we all go through life, we know that there's going to be different things, but we know that you are ultimately in control. Mm-hmm. And the faith to have that all play out is not easy, but we know that it's true. So I just want to pray strength and love and patience and kindness and so much thankfulness for the moms and their consistent prayers for all of our kids and teens and students. It is truly powerful. And we just thank you for the opportunity to come directly to you and share our hearts and our passions. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Jen, you're the greatest. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm so glad people are doing the hard work to educate us about issues that are facing our kids. And let's be faithful to pray for those kids that are really on the bubble on this issue. Lord, would you move in our generation? You can find show notes for today's episode and for more information about Warning Lights and Jen's ministry on the Moms in Prayer blog at momsinprayer.org. Also, we'd love to hear your stories about how prayer is affecting your kids, your home, and your community. So either drop us a comment on Facebook or email us at podcasts@momsinprayer.org. Moms are making the difference, friends. Moms that are being really brave. Moms just like you. See you next time.